I was like, back the fuck up. Is this going to be a problem?
It actually was not a problem.
Come on, suck it up, Dill. You're a professional.
Bitch is playing with fire. Men are gross.
Men are men.
I'm just going to do what I want, big man. Blah, 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 blah. Blah.
He's like, don't punch them.
She has to be a lesbian.
Has to be. There's no other possibility in his world.
Men are so dumb. Being alive is expensive.
Being alive is very expensive. He just can't have his little feelings for a second. For your information, I happen to like dick
a lot.
He doesn't need to fuck me. I've successfully found a way to fuck myself.
I cried like a bitch.
I was thinking about this for some reason right before we hopped on. If Angie was here, she would say, the universe be universing, because the wheel was doing its wheel job for some reason this month. Because I'm sure that when I originally put it on my TBR back when, that I probably did a deep dive into it and I knew what it was about.
Yeah.
But when we set up for the wheel, I don't remember what it was about, really. I was just like, hey, this is an angsty one. Like, it's not originally like Jesse Hall Dark.
Yeah.
But way to have the wheel pick a book that has autism representation for Autism Month for April.
I didn't even realize that.
Yeah. If Angie was here, she'd be saying the universe be universing. Anywho. Yeah. So I thought that was funny. Or I guess maybe not funny, but coincidental.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Yes.
Yeah.
Today was long.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad. It was just a long day. I'm tired.
I was having a great day until about 20 minutes ago. I'm literally down basically the business laptop.
Yeah.
Currently fucked.
Just breathe. Let it dry out for half an hour. It could just start right up.
My entire life is on that laptop.
So just breathe. It could just start right up. Don't panic until you know you have something to panic about. Then you can panic.
Oh my God. I cried. 7 fucking times.
I only cried
at the end. That's it.
Towards the end, end on. Yeah.
That was it.
I only cried towards the end. But the end was a big cry.
Oh my God. There was so much. I was like, yeah. I'm done crying. And I'm like, no, I'm not sitting here.
So
I thought I was done.
It was hard for me in the beginning of this book because it was a little too real for me in that one scene. But the rest of it went fine. Like, I was worried for a minute because I thought it was going to be a lot. Once I got out of that, I was fine.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was like, back the fuck up. Is this going to be a problem?
It actually was not a problem. And it was great.
Not because it's not written well, not because whatever, thankfully, even though it got too real for me for a minute and it forced me into my head instead of taking me out of my head. Thankfully, it was a small moment and I was able to move on.
It was interesting for me because while it was a different profession, it's still really close to massaging. And I was like, oh boy, here we go. And I've done massaging for professional sports. So it's interesting. Not for football, though, for hockey. So
yeah, what we're talking about. We read The Canary Cowards by Jesse Hall. And we have read Dark Books by Jesse Hall on our own before, but I think this might be so far her only non-dark book. Is that true? This one is more of an angsty read.
Yeah. It says angsty.
It was more just emotional. It was more of an emotional read, but,
I cried like a little bitch.
This was a big boy. This was a long, long emotional read. The Canary Cowards features Dylan as our female character and Lake as our main male character. Just wanted to get that out of the way because the names are a little funky.
I would have thought that Dylan would be for the boy and Lake would be for the girl. So here we are.
So that's why I was getting that out of the way. And it starts out with Dylan at her job as a physiotherapist, and her boss is telling her that he's moving her to a new client. And this new client is none other than Lake Decker. He has an ACL injury that has wrecked his NFL season, and she's not happy about this.
I'll be honest, when it first started, I thought she already knew him. And so when she was panicking about him coming in, that it was going to be something like, oh, she knew him growing up. That's not the case.
No, I know. That was a hint of that. Yeah.
I was like,
a little whiff in the air.
That's not it. He just has a reputation.
I know. I didn't know if it was like a second chance thing. And I'm like, Yeah, no, this is just based on his reputation.
Yeah.
He's grumpy when his accident happened. Apparently he like pummeled the locker room. Like he went ballistic. And
I mean, to be fair, it could be a career ending injury. And it is for a lot of football players.
Not only that, but we find out that Lake was distracted on the field 20 minutes before he went out. He found out that his mother's cancer was back. So he was not at his best. It caused him to make a mistake. And not only was he feeling all the feels, but now his career might be over. So what she perceived as a giant temper tantrum was just letting out feelings, and might not have been the best way to go about it. But, you know, so she's not thrilled. She tries to pawn him off on a coworker.
And the coworker's like, yeah, sure, why not?
He's like, why not? Yeah.
For about 5 minutes.
Well,
until he actually meets this man. And then he changes his mind very quickly.
He goes out to see him. And then the coworker, Jaden, comes back in. He's not happy. He's like, what the fuck kind of thing? Is it that bad? What happened? And the boss sees this interaction. And he's like, you pawned him off on Jaden? What the heck? Come on, suck it up, Dill. You're a professional.
I mean, he's not wrong.
Apparently, this man requested to be with her, which she did not know prior. It also makes sense that he wasn't happy to see this other person.
Yeah.
Lake had gotten the name from his coach on who was the person who helped get the fastest recovery time for an ACL injury that they have ever seen possible. And he's like, good, that's who I want. He did expect Dylan to be a man. So he was quite surprised when he saw her and she walks in and he's like, why did you send that other guy? And she's like, Jaden is an excellent physiotherapist. He's like, I didn't waste an hour of my time driving to some mom and pop business to hang out with Jaden. And she's like, if this place isn't to your liking, get the fuck out.
I mean, she's got a point.
He's like, I came here to meet with a therapist who got, and then she's like, Ashton Conley back on the field in 9 months. I'm well aware. He's like, yeah, so do your job and get me there.
A little demanding.
And she's like, but just see, Lake, it's not all about the therapist. Ashton is one hell of an athlete and a better patient. Results may vary.
Bitch is playing with fire. I mean, to be honest, if someone insulted me, like was being that demanding too and insulting where I work, I would also be like, you can get straight the fuck out of here.
She doesn't have time for his bullshit. He's basically like, tomorrow. And he stands the fuck up on his injury. And he's like, be ready to work. And he fucking walks his ass out of that place. He had surgery yesterday. The next day, Lake shows up 2 hours before his scheduled appointment. And
I mean, he very much wants.
He's very eager to get fixed. We learn that his mom is his world and his mom has been through some shit and she has sacrificed so much for him. And he basically does his job for his mom. Everything he puts in is for her. And he feels like if he can't be on the field, how is she going to have a chance at beating cancer again if he can't like finance it and help her through it, and she needs to be able to see her baby get back on the field.
He's an asshole with just a heart of gold.
And so he needs to get there as fast as possible. So even he's just chomping at the bit asshole. To go. So on the flip side, reverse of that, while he's 2 hours early, he wants to know why Dylan dresses like a homeless person.
I mean, I understand her reasoning so hard.
So Dylan is overworked in both her job and her life. And at her job, she often deals with these sweaty ass men who just see a female therapist as a female, not respecting her therapist part and just seeing her as like an icon or a toy.
I feel this so hard. The amount of times that I have gotten my ass grabbed when I was massaging or hit on. And when I was originally dating, I would never tell people I was a massage therapist, because the things that men will say when they find out about these things are disgusting. Men are gross.
Men are men. Yeah, it's disgusting. Why do men?
No idea.
So she literally wears these baggy sweatpants and a baggy sweatshirt to work with clients. It's just so like, what the fuck? Why can't you just care about yourself for half a minute? And she's like, it doesn't matter what I'm wearing. Just shut up, kind of thing. And he's kind of being, you know, a little cocky, a little stubborn. And she's explained to him, you need to follow my instructions. I have a detailed custom therapy plan for you. Let me do my job so you have a chance at saving yours. Because he's walking out there without crutches. He hasn't been taking his pain. Like, he's not helping himself recover so that he can rebuild.
It's that
macho man,
egotistical athlete mentality. I am the king on the field and I'm so good at my job and I'm invincible. So this is just a little AC. Well, he knows it's a big ACL tear, but I'm just going to do what I want. Big man, blah, 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 blah,
blah. So they do the exam, her like initial exam, and they both end up fighting a bit of unwanted attraction during this exam, which is very new for her.
She's kind of pissed at it too.
Yeah.
Like,
I've never had this happen on a client, and for all people, of all people, him, what the fuck? So when she gets home from work, she gets home to find her apartment trashed. It is covered in Happy Meal boxes and wrappers galore. And she starts rumbling around and picking them up and goes to throw them away and finds that her entire underwear drawer has been dumped into the trash can. And then we meet Colin, who is her older brother, a NASCAR aficionado extraordinaire, who found out that they were having cars in the Happy Meal boxes and was ordering meal after meal to the house to try to get the complete set of toys.
And he only needs one more.
He's done it all day and he only has one left. She's so mad about the underwear. He's like, thongs aren't healthy, Pickle. He calls her Pickle. Thongs are a bad idea. You can get infections from spreading your feces into your vagina. It's not healthy. I want you to be healthy.
So funny.
So we learn real fast that Dylan takes care of Colin, her older brother, who is autistic, and he is her whole world. And she quickly admits defeat and says, let's go to McDonald's and get that last car.
She's basically going to bully them into giving it to her.
Yeah, he's like, don't punch them.
She's going to get a stern talking to. It's fine.
And she's like, oh, this time. So the next day, Lake is waiting in the parking lot an hour before the gym even opens. And he sees Dylan pull up. And he sees...
took me out.
or get out of the car. Happy Meal boxes spilling out behind her. You can see it from where he is parked. And then she gets fully out and she's in a sports bra and a pair of workout shorts. And he's like, what the fuck?
Damn, she's hot.
For a whole other reason. Yeah. And he sits there and watches her don on, as he calls it, homeless costume. She pulls up her big old baggy sweatpants and her oversized sweatshirt, ties up all her hair into some unattractive bun on the top of her head. And he's just like disgusted awe. He's in disgusted awe staring at her. But she catches him. Yikes.
And he pretends to look away.
Yeah.
Like he wasn't just staring her down.
They get in and they start doing exercises. And he keeps trying to like have conversations with her, but she's ignoring him. And he's kind of like, are you this engaging with all your clients? She's like, I'm just focused. You should be able to understand that.
Girl's having a grand old time over here. Laughing her ass off.
It's so funny. Because he's trying so hard to make a connection with her and make this an easier route.
And she's not having any of it.
And he's like, so, have you and your girlfriend ever eaten at that Chinese place in town?
Because he's so convinced that because
of the way she dresses.
The way she's acting. The way she dresses.
That she's not hitting on him.
She has to be a lesbian.
It has to be. There's no other possibility in his world.
Oh, men are so dumb.
And she's like, what did you just say to me? He's like, your girlfriend? She starts cackling. And she's like, for your information, I happen to like dick a lot.
Their banter back and forth is really cute.
It's great. It's great.
Because she's not spineless. Like, she sticks up for herself, and I like that.
So he shuts the fuck up.
Well, as he should.
And they get
the first smart thing this man has done this whole time. Shut up.
And they get working on stretches and shit until there's an urgent phone call for her. It's Colin's work. So apparently Colin is having a meltdown at work. So she has to go. She gets there. He is flipping out in the back room, beating himself up, you know, hitting the wall, having a whole meltdown. And she finds out that they made him change his shirt. I don't know why they made him change his shirt. Weird. But she always cuts out all the tags because the tags bother him. And they made him put a new one on. And she's trying to calm him and trying to bear hug him from behind and give him some sensory input. And he is just still trying to hit himself in the head. And he accidentally clocks her in the face while she's trying to wrap around him. But eventually, with her sensory input and singing to him, she can bring him down. So she gets him calmed down. She brings him to the car, gets him settled. And then she heads back inside to cuss out the staff, as she calls
what
it.
But what does she call the lady?
Oh, I'm trying to remember.
Was her a crusty cunt?
Crusty cunt. That's what it was.
I was like, that's fantastic. Oh, man.
So as she's coming back outside after cussing out the crusty cunt.
That lady sounds like an awful person. I've never met her. Hate her.
She does. She runs into Lake in the parking lot. Because what's next door to the Piggly fucking Wiggly where Colin works? The Chinese place that he was talking about earlier, that how he talked about it. So now he went and got Chinese when she cut his lesson short. And he clocks the mark on her face. And their encounter is quite awkward. And she cannot leave fucking fast enough.
I know. And of course, he's fucking concerned, which, as he should be. I'm glad he doesn't know the situation, but it's nice to see that he was concerned.
Yeah.
Don't worry. He does more dumb boy stuff later.
So she gets him home and settled and all that jazz. And she gets a call from her boss, Greg. After seeing this mark on her face, Lake has assumed the worst. He has a history from when he was little of his mom and domestic violence. So he is, I don't know if I want to use the word triggered by her, but he definitely is in protective mode because of seeing it.
Yeah, he sees it instantly and wants to, he just, ooh, protect lady. Because
yeah, make sure that, right, because his mom wasn't always afforded the opportunities. He just wants to make sure that she kept.
Right.
And apparently Lake told her boss that he wants her to travel with him to Arizona to continue his therapy sessions while he's at a game with his team, which is so ridiculous, but he's going to pay her for this whole thing. And she could really use the money, which is the only reason she accepts it. We find out that she's literally been taking care of Colin from a very young age. Her parents died in a car crash and left them both when they were young. And she has not been financially stable, it seems, since. So she's going to go. She doesn't want to, but she's gone.
And, you know, student loans and all that jazz. Living, being alive is expensive.
Being alive is very expensive. I just had to pay for braces. Being alive is very expensive. Being a parent is very expensive.
Yeah.
Just existing.
Yeah. I thought being alive covered it.
Yeah. It's all just, it just never ends. It just
no
keeps getting worse. So Dylan had to wait for the sitter to come. So she was not able to take the team jet with everyone else. So she had to take a red eye to get there in time. And her check bag is lost and all the equipment bag is lost. And she's just had a horrible trip. And she gets to the hotel and she's in this massive like penthouse suite. It's got two bedrooms in it and a living room. And she's just kind of like, what the fuck? And so Lake shows up for therapy.
Though, to be fair, if that happened to me, I would A, say what the fuck at first. And then I'd be like, ooh, but there's so much space in here.
So Lake shows up for therapy and she apologizes for the lack of stuff and her professional attire because she's just sitting there in like jeans and a t-shirt because all her stuff is lost. And he just can't comprehend why she didn't fly with the team. Oh, I just had to tie up some things.
And of course, in his head, he is definitely thinking some man is because she does not tell anybody about her brother. So no one knows all this stuff going on.
Well, and to be fair, why would she just odd like, hey, new client, let me tell you my whole life story.
I mean, she could have just given a, oh, I have a sibling at home I just had to take care of. It's fine.
In theory, but
you didn't have to. She didn't have to go fully into it, but this man fully thinks she's
I can understand
being
abused. The privacy. I know. Well, she's about to find out real fast because they were setting up and he all of a sudden grabs her hands and pulls her in towards him all close to let her know that she's safe there. And he'll make sure that she's safe. She doesn't have to go back to that.
It's and really
she's
sweet,
just
though.
Like,
he, he's
what
so
the
concerned.
Fuck?
She's so confused now.
But just as it clicks for her, there's a knock at the door.
So, knock at the door.
I swear, Decker, if you're in there getting your dick sucked by that stale therapist you've been telling me about, I'm not. And door's pulled up.
Bro, listen.
It's his
Candy,
best friend.
His name is, his last name is Kane, so they call him Candy. I fucking love this man. He is so fucking funny. Especially later when he calls her Cracker. And he goes, it's not because you're white. That takes her a woman.
And she's just, no, she knows exactly. She just deadpans. I know. It's because I'm stale. So yeah, Candy is Lake's teammate and bestie. She's not impressed.
Candy is a man whore.
Yeah. He's basically tries to kind of sweet talk her a little bit. And she's basically like,
yeah, no.
We find out that Lake gave Dylan his room.
Yep.
And so Candy skedaddles out of there. And then they go on with the session, ignoring all of the elephants in the room. They says, we don't bring up any of the elephants in the room, as many as there are. She doesn't bring up the fact that I've clearly talked about her to Kane or that she knows I've given her my room. And I definitely don't bring up the intimate moment we shared on the table where she almost admitted all of her secrets to me. Later on, she gets a knock on the door with some packages. Lake sent her some clothes, some sweatpants and a sweatshirt and some sneakers to wear to dinner because her stuff was lost. And she is overwhelmed by how sweet this is and his little note to her that she's like, oh, I feel like I could crush on him a little. Except when he comes
ruins
to
it.
Pick her up to cover for his extra attention and kind of extra feelings he had for a moment. He has to cover for that and instead wants to put distance. It backfires. He's like, shoop, and he's mean about it. And he's like, oh, anyone, blah, blah, blah. Look, he's mean.
He's an idiot. He's a dumb boy.
He just can't have his little feelings for a second. And so
this is the
that
time
backfires.
To have you in your man feelings. Come on.
Right. That backfires on him because when they get to the dinner, she avoids him. She ends up sitting and chatting with the whole defensive team instead of being anywhere near him.
He is not fucking thrilled about anything that is happening right now. He's not happy.
He just stares at her the whole time. He is not happy. And when he gets sick of that and insists on escorting her back to her room, she decides to give him back all of his
presents. This is literally my favorite fucking thing. It is so petty and so great. And she just strips down naked, throws everything at him, and then just pieces out.
Well, she strips down to her underwear in the hallway and then walks into the bedroom, closes the door, takes off her underwear, tosses them back at him, closes the door, opens it again, flips him off, and then closes it again.
Lady is so fucking... She's unhinged. Perfect, though. That is the best. But then, of course, now she has no clothes.
So she's sitting there in her robe.
And then he does even more unhinged stuff.
And then he knocks on the door a little while later, and she's like, what are you doing here? Do you not understand dramatic exits? The middle finger was my nice way of saying goodnight.
And it's 10 p.m., which... Bro, go away.
And he's like, I need a therapy session. She's like, it's 10 p.m. He's like, I just want to try something. And he pulls out an NMES machine. And apparently she's been begging Greg, her boss, to get one. And she's drooling over this machine.
They're really
and
great.
It's like, you can keep it after. She's like, no. So they try it out. And she's still in her fucking robe, mind you.
She doesn't and have any other clothes.
He's liking her touching him and setting up all the electrodes. Yes. And he's really liking her in the robe that keeps kind of falling open a little as she's bending down.
He's just being a man.
He sees him enjoying it. And that's enough for tonight.
Well, it's not even that. Like, she's also enjoying it because as she's putting this machine on him, she can see the gigantic erection that this man has. And it turns her on. And
I'm not happy about it.
She's not happy about that. It's a good way to end A, him staring at her in this robe, and B, to get some space because she's
and then like a little toddler,
on.
He fucking huffs out of there with the pile of clothes that he had brought back for her. And he's like, fine.
Well,
you don't want the clothes? Fine. I'll take them with me.
You know what? It's fine, though, because she threw them. And if she wants to act that, I get it. He's just being petty. So
it's okay. Because the next day when he shows up for therapy, her bags had been found, so she has clothes today. And he was all like, I could see her in her robe again tomorrow, but nope. Her bags have been found, so she has clothes. And he shows up. Dylan's trying to finish up a phone call, so she gives him the finger, not that finger that she gave him the other night, but like the hold on a minute finger. And heads into the bedroom to finish her phone call. Apparently, she left out her book that she was reading on the counter by accident. Apparently, she's also tabbed all of the special scenes.
So she's definitely read this book multiple times.
He thinks this is a very interesting. Pretty interesting.
It's smut, guys. She's reading.
Super smut.
Super smut.
Super smut.
Reverse harem smut, I believe, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it is.
It's reverse harem mountain men.
She comes out and he's kind of like, oh, who was on the phone? And she's like, no one. It's all good. But he had heard her say, like, I love you at the end. And he's kind of like, oh, is it your mom, your dad kind of thing? And she's like, no, my parents died when I was almost 14. And he's like, oh, freaking crap. She's like, no, it's fine. I'm better off. What about you? And he's like, oh, just my mom. My dad was an abusive drunk who's in and out of jail. Haven't seen him since I was probably 12. So we find out that they've all had great childhoods. Ooh, awesome sauce. He's all kind of like, oh, are you an only child too, having to deal with all this trauma by yourself? And she just clams up and shuts off the conversation. Redirect. Let's get to work. Yep. And she is avoiding touching him as so much funny. As humanly possible.
And he very clearly notices this.
Yeah, he calls her out on it and he kind of gets a little extra flirty. And he's like, you want this, right? No one would have to know.
Well, you're going to have to touch me.
No like, strings.
Oh, yeah.
And then she's just, one night with me wouldn't be enough. Now put on the damn electrodes.
Oh, man.
She's like, focus on your healing, not your dick.
I mean, smart.
So funny. He goes, my world is shook. I was so sure I was close to cracking her. But apparently I'm illiterate when it comes to reading rooms.
I was like, no fucking shit.
So.
Oh, sweet baby next, boy.
So then they have Monday Night Football. It's the game before they return. And he's adamant that she be there for it. And while they're there, Candy tells Lake that a teammate wants to ask out Dylan. Lake does not handle that well and ends up being really rude to Dylan. And Dylan ends up leaving at halftime so that she can go check in on Colin and get comfy with her book.
Yeah, because he's being a dick.
Yeah. So, surprise, knock, knock on the door. It's a wild, angry-eyed Lake. He starts patrolling through her rooms. And when he finds nothing but that damn dog-eared book, they start fighting over this book. And they really start getting flirty wrestling.
Well,
and he's gets real, real close to her. She kind of likes it. He's, tell me I can kiss you. And she just nods. She remembers their conversation. One night, no strings. Maybe this could actually work. And
we all know how that goes.
And then they start freaking having this heated, ridiculous kiss. And then she's, wait, you need to apologize.
And he does, but he is doing it in between being
kissing
sexy.
Her. Yeah. And then he's like, okay, one night. It's okay. Just one night. And they agree. And then they do.
I liked that there was a moment where she was talking about Football Lake. I'm just going to call him Flake.
Yeah.
He's a little snowflake.
Oh, my gosh. Funny.
And she's like, Lake Decker made love to me. He doesn't need to fuck me. I've successfully found a way to fuck myself.
I mean, it's true, though.
Yikes. Very true. So she's boarding the plane to go back home. And she's got one gassy seatmate.
One gassy old fucking lady. Like, God damn it.
When all of a sudden, Lake appears, who should be on his own damn plane, by the way, on the team plane. And he asks this lady to swap seats so he can sit with her. And he bought her a new book to read for the flight and everything. And he's just all, it's the not being able to kiss you that makes me want to. Well, you can't. Would you want to if we were just regular strangers attracted to each other? And then she just nods. And then they kiss.
And she's like, excuse me. And he goes, right. Oh, I thought you were saying yes.
I'm sorry. I need this job. He changes the subject. He's like, I used to pretend I was Jeff Gordon's car as a kid.
It's just because he's trying to let her in because he is so intrigued by her because she's so closed off and won't share literally anything. So he's thinking that if he can share bits and pieces of his life, maybe she will be more open to
that
share with him.
He was scrambling for anything.
Which also bites him in the ass later because this man may come across as open. He is not. He is as closed as a door.
And you have to remember, the main person in her life is NASCAR extraordinaire. So she's, my heart stops in my chest at his words. They hit too close to home. And he's all, I used to be so obsessed with the speed and racing that I totally bypassed being Jeff Gordon, the driver. And I wanted to be embody the Rainbow Warrior, his car.
He wanted to be Lightning McQueen.
And then he has this little,
oh my God.
his mom made him the jacket, and he used to think like he was like invincible, and it gave him superpowers. And he's like, it wasn't the jacket, it was her. She was the superpower.
Well, this is not the part where I cried, guys, but I started feeling things. I was like, aw, this man may be stupid, but he loves his mom.
They have a week of quiet therapy sessions where Lake is plotting and biding his time.
He's playing the long game, guys.
He is annoyed that Dylan won't accept his Facebook friend request.
He's like, she left me pending. Well, because he's trying to find literally anything more about her. And he can see the picture, and in it is just, there's a slight, because he wants to know if she's dating anybody.
And her profile picture is her and a man, the back of them.
Right. So. And he goes, oh, shit, she just did all that with me. What secrets is this woman hiding? You know? Yeah, and she leaves him pending, which is so fucking funny. She is nothing but a constant blow to his ego, and it's great. Someone's got to keep him in check.
So he has his plan set up. They're in therapy and he's all, ow, my hamstring. Massage it.
So dumb.
And he is egging her on. No, you can't get it. You can't get it. Maybe you need to go get a professional like Jaden.
Your hands aren't strong enough.
And she's all like, good idea. Calls him on it. And she goes to get up and she slips. And he catches her, and he's just a quick kiss, please. I'm going crazy here. Pick a lane, buddy.
He picked a lane a long time ago that he wants her, and he's focused on her. Because he realized after their one night, that really is not enough, and he needs more.
But he's just, I'm going to go get Jaden. You know, blah, blah, blah.
He's just trying to be a dick. Who knows?
Yeah. So... that's okay, because the phone rings and interrupts them, and she doesn't have to even contemplate it. And she takes the call outside, and as she's haphazardly like ripping the phone out of her bag, a pair of underwear flings out as she's yanking the phone out. So thankfully, the phone call wasn't anything major, and she was able to get on with the rest of her day. So the next time we see her, she's at a Special Olympics game with Colin, and she sees her ex there, and her ex,
I want to punch him in the face.
We find out pretended to get close with Colin only to try to get him out of the way so that he could have a relationship with her. He said that Colin only brought her down and that she needed to basically get rid of him. Once he infiltrated himself into their lives and Colin trusted him enough, when she was at work one day, he basically got Colin checked into a mental health facility. And it was
tricked
like
Colin into signing the paper as voluntary.
And it was hell trying to get him out. And it was really hard for both of them.
And traumatized the shit out of everybody. Like, what? First of all, that man can rot in hell.
Yep. Well, he wants her back. And he is not taking her no. And she's stopped touching me. And he's stopped walking away then. All of a sudden, he gets pushed back. It's Lake. Apparently, he was refereeing the games. She didn't know that.
She didn't know that. We knew that because he mentioned it earlier in the book.
But she didn't know that.
She had no idea.
And he yanks him outside. Stay away from her. And then when he comes back, is he the one who gave you the black eye?
Fucking Colin.
So Colin was in the stands because she was just getting some food.
Colin's there with his friend. So.
So Colin was in the stands. And so he was heading back down to see her. He walks up just in time to hear those words. And he's all, no, that was me. He
fucking died.
And she's like, this is my brother. And he's like, what about the thong? And she's like, what?
This whole fucking interaction had me cackling the whole time.
It fell out of your purse. And Colin's like, oh, that was also me.
Dude, it's just so funny because she's
he's like, thongs are disgusting. Unhealthy. Really unhealthy.
God, it was so funny.
I knew I had the crumpling.
And she's trying so hard to just move this conversation past because she's getting so fucking embarrassed right now. She's just so funny.
She tries to finish the introductions in which Colin literally just lists all of Lake's stats. It's really funny. But Lake compliments Colin's shirt. So awesome sauce. And he's all, you guys hungry? So they go and get some food because hers got spilled all over the floor.
This man is just going to buy literally everything.
Yeah, he has to be something she likes. And they end up having a good time talking and chilling. And he kind of is putting all the pieces together and he kind of feels better about knowing what's up. And it's time for him to go do some signing. So he got to go. And she's all, we got to go too. And he's like, will you be home later? I'll stop by.
And she's like, excuse the fuck out of me. Where did you get my address?
So Dylan races the fuck home to clean.
And she's like, shit, I gotta clean this fucking house up.
Yeah. And she's like, Colin, help. And he's like, I'm too tired. My race is on. And she's like, pretend this trash is thongs. Let's go.
So funny.
So Lake arrives. Colin critiques his truck.
He compliments him, but then also is not nice about it either. So funny. And Lake takes it all in stride. Like, this man was like, you know, I'm going to take you with me next time that I need to go get a car. Because you seem to know all of the things.
You seem clearly are the expert. Yeah. And they begin talking about cars. And Dylan's basically, well, I don't need to be here now.
Yeah, she's like basically the third wheel at this point.
Yeah. And so they end up hanging. And chilling and watching races, and Colin falls asleep. And after Colin falls asleep, they go out to chat in the living room. And it's like, why didn't you tell me? And so she tells him her story about how her parents died really early and they basically had to go to foster homes because she was 14 and she had to fight so hard and go into so much debt to be old enough and when she was to show that she could take custody of her brother and fight her way through school and all this stuff. And she basically tells him her whole story. And he is, you know, I want you. I'm not going to give up on you. And she's, I'm your therapist. You can't touch me. And he's like, I'll take you any way I can get you, but I'm not letting you go. So 3 days later, at the next therapy session, they're doing their thing and all that. And he's, oh, I can't stop thinking about you. And she's, we can't do this. And he's like, I need you in some capacity, any capacity. And she kind of gives in a little. She's, you can't touch me, but I can touch you any way I please. I am your therapist.
They're playing some dangerous fucking games. You know, I thought about this. It's a really good thing there's no cameras in this gym.
Right?
I thought about that. And I was like, I'm surprised there's no cameras, but okay.
So she goes to clean up and he spots her purse on the counter that has her date book in it.
Oh, my God.
And he opens it up and fixes her planner a little bit. So one of the first things he fixes is that following Wednesday, I think it is that he set aside tickets for a game for her and Colin to go to, for them to watch together. And Colin's having a rough day, like a new tenant in the building. They're cooking something weird. It's just throwing them all off. And they couldn't make it to the game. They just couldn't make it out the door in time. It's just, it happens. So Lake shows up after the game and...
Well, because he texted her and she was super vague in the text messages back to him. So he goes, this shit, I'm just going to go to the house.
And her like best friend slash neighbor slash babysitter, Kat, was there hanging out a little bit because they were home. And when he shows up at the door, he's like, okay, I just wanted to make sure everything was okay. He's like, I'm going to go to the pub with the team. And Kat basically pushes her out the door.
She'd love to go. Give me 10 minutes.
Give her 10 minutes to change. And she pulls her in and puts her in a dress and sends her out the door. So they go together. Ashton is at the bar. Dylan excitedly launches herself into his arms.
They're such good friends.
They are such good friends. So Ashton,
Lake does not know that.
No. But Ashton, we mentioned earlier, is the person who was the
recovery time for the fastest. And she was the one who did it. So she's actually known him forever. It was his mother, who is a lawyer, that helped her finally, after so many people kind of scammed her, finally get custody of Colin. And they've just been basically besties since. Platonic friends, even though other people are very sure that they're going to be more.
I love it because she describes him as the epitome of a golden retriever person. As they're speaking, it's so funny because he's just rapid fire talking to her rapid. And he's also a very oblivious person, too.
Well, I'm sorry. I interrupted you. What was that?
It's so funny.
So, yeah, Lake doesn't quite understand this or know this. So he is fucking jealous.
And this man is staring at them and fucking breaks a glass in his hand. Because he's raging with jealousy. Yeah.
Dylan sees this and she fucking sets him straight.
She's like, outside now.
So after she sets him straight and whatnot, she's like, you know, that's my friend. I was going to introduce you. If you're not going to fucking behave, you're going to get nothing, jerky wad kind of thing. But after she sets him straight, they end up drinking and having fun and enjoying themselves. And on the car ride home, he asks her, what are your plans for Thanksgiving? And she's like, I'm probably ordering food. It's 3 weeks away. And he's like, come to my mom's. I want her to meet the woman that reminds me of her. Which,
dude, I started tearing up when I hit this spot. I was like, oh, what?
So he's all like, kiss me. And they have some truck sexy times.
Yeah, they do.
And he's all like, I'm falling. And they're all like, it's us. This is it. This is us. So she's given in now. She's given in to this behind the scenes, nobody's got to know, secretive shit. And they spend 2.5 weeks giving into the us time in private. Lake is still messing with her schedule and inserting himself wherever possible. And he takes Dylan to the team practice field. And they play football, like catch truth. They kind of just go back and forth a little bit. And the questions are kind of getting a little more high stakes. And she tries to ask him why it's so important to him to get back so quickly to the field. And he lies and brushes it off, which is obvious to her. Yeah. And she gets frustrated by this. And she kind of asks him, what's an unattractive quality to you? And he says, weakness. And she's frustrated about him lying.
Understandably so, because he is a terrible liar. She is also not a good liar either.
No. And she's all kind of like, well, I guess I'm unattractive to you then. Good thing this is only a surface thing.
Ugh, they head it's home. Like those. It's like that. They take 2 steps forward, 1 step back. Like they are doing things and then shit just goes south.
So Colin wants to sign up to do a race. It's like a pedal race. Like for a car, it's a big thing. They have to build their own car and do it. She's at home working on bills and trying to make this work, but she is definitely short money for the race. And she's like, I'm just going to have to make it work. And there's a knock on the door and it is Lake. I'm so sorry. Like, I'm a fuck up. I'm like,
this man insulted her. And then realized he fucked up. So take notes, guys.
And it's coming to apologize.
And then came to her house to profusely apologize for being a fucking idiot. He feels so fucking bad, too. Like, he really does. I'm glad it was not one of those, just ignore it for a while.
And they have this passionate need for each other. And they just, all of their feelings from that whole day just combust into each other. And they just start fucking out on top of the bills on the table. But don't worry, they finish just in time for the keys to turn in the door because Colin is home from work. And they're kind of, you know, fixing themselves and Colin walks in. Oh, hey, I came to hang out. Are you hungry? He's like, I bet you are. It smells sweaty in here. It smells like you worked up a sweat. Oh, yeah, I was just working out. You need to shower.
It's so funny.
Shower. Then we can watch a race. So Colin goes into his room to go get the race ready. And Lake's
says to Dylan, "Do you have any hot sauce?"
"No."
She runs in front of him to block the fridge. She does not want him to see her fridge and how barren it is. And so he's like, "Okay, I respect your privacy." And he goes to get the pizza and he comes back with a buttload of groceries too. It's like, "Hey, I'm going to be hanging out here. I'm a football player. I eat a lot. I don't want to dip into your, you know, resources and shit." And Colin hears him come back and literally calls him to come watch a race. And Dylan is so excited because he asked you to come into his room. It's a big deal.
Doesn't ask anybody.
So while he's in Colin's room, he's just kind of, "So you love her?" He's, I don't know, Carl. "So I was right about both of you. I was right. Yep. I was right. Right? Yep. I was right. Both the same." And he's like, "What the fuck?" And Colin's like, "You know what it takes to make history?" And he's kind of like, "What?" "Courage." And he's just like, "Fuck." He's like, it's like he sees something in me, my hidden truth I've been covering for so long. He knows what I'm doing here, that I've fallen in love with his sister, even if I haven't admitted it to her. He knows my weakness, my own mission of painful truths, the reason for playing football again, the hopeless boy beneath the shell of a man who still clings to the belief that miracles can happen, and that making her proud of me will somehow make that deadly disease vanish without a trace. He sees it. He sees me as the coward I am." And then Dylan calls from the door. And she's like, "You finished your racing form?" "Yeah." "Like, you put me and Lake as your pit crew? But I can't read this. What did you write? What's the team name?" "The Canary Cowards." And
he's like, "It should be stated, I believe his bedroom is canary yellow."
His favorite color is canary,
which we haven't stated. So his favorite color is canary. So he's got shirts with that color, which is also
everything.
A shirt he wants. That Lake complimented him on the first time when he said, "Oh, I really like your shirt. It's one of those shirts." And then, yes, so that explains the whole thing. It's cute. You, me being emotional.
So Dylan gets to see Lake's apartment and he tells her to make herself.
Is putting it very mildly. This place is huge.
He tells her to make herself at home while he's at a photo shoot. And well, she does. She spots a cheesecake in his fridge and she basically eats the whole thing in a bubble bath with her book. And he comes home to find almost no cheesecake left, one piece, her hiding under the bubbles and her book thrown across the room.
She heard him coming. She heard him talk to her.
He calls her out on the whole book thing and he's basically like, "You have me now. If you need to get off to your smutty book time, use me."
This man does something that a lot of book ladies really would love their man to do. Holy shit.
Yeah, he makes her read the scene to him while he goes down on her. But then she gets frustrated because she calls him out on being closed off.
Well, yeah, because earlier she had seen a picture in the apartment of him and his mom, clearly when she was a lot younger, and he was very closed off with it. And that kind of set her into, well, how many women have been in here in this house? And so she is kind of spiraling a bit. But I mean, in all honesty, she's got a fucking point.
So, yeah, she does. They end up having some good times together and hang out together. And it's the night before Thanksgiving. She's going to meet his mom tomorrow. I think she's just way too in her head about everything. And the next morning, they start freaking out because they realize they fell asleep. They were supposed to obviously go home the night before. She fucking fell asleep. She's freaking out, trying to call Colin. She's having a meltdown.
Colin's not answering.
They need to go to Thanksgiving. Like, she might have just thrown this whole day out of the water by
not showing up because it's a change in routine and he doesn't do well with changes in routine and she's not there.
So
jokes on
panicking.
Her though. Colin doesn't give Colin's having a great time.
Well, he kinda is, but he's trying to hold it together for her. Yeah. They're freaking out, panicking, trying to get out the door, and they aren't careful. And apparently the team doc lives in the building and sees them leaving his apartment at 6 a.m. together. And on their way back, he misses a call from his coach on Thanksgiving. That's not good. But yeah, Colin is holding it together. He's doing okay. He's obviously not 100%, but he's holding it together for her because it's Thanksgiving and he's trying. And they go to his mom's house and Dylan meets Lake's mom. And Lake's mom is not doing well.
No, and she realizes exactly what Lake has not told her the minute she lays her eyes on this woman.
And
Lake is also kind of pissed, though, because everyone's been telling him that, oh, she's doing fine. She's doing fine. She's just tired. And he's mad because they've been lying to him, too.
Yeah, like, her husband, new husband or her boyfriend or whoever he is to her, it was never really defined, keeps keeping him at arm's length about the whole thing. And all of a sudden they show up and she's basically like a bag of bones in front of him. And yeah, he needs a minute. So he goes to the barn. She has a barn and Colin follows him. And he's pretty blunt. He's like, your mom's dying. We're all going to die. All going to die. We are. It's better when you get to say goodbye.
I cried. I started fucking bawling my eyes out at this part.
Yeah. So they have dinner, Thanksgiving dinner. Everything goes well. Lake's mom and boyfriend slash husband, I don't know what he is, her man. Both of them are really good with Colin. They're even showing Lake's NASCAR stuff to him and all that jazz. And Lake and Dylan are doing the dishes in the kitchen when all of a sudden Colin can't wait anymore. And he's, I need to use the bathroom like now. And Dylan wasn't in the room with him. He didn't know where it was. And he waited too long to ask. So he's in a hurry to get there. And he gets there and then he's trying so hard because he's in a hurry. His belt is getting stuck and he can't get it out fast enough. And he dribbles a little on his pants. And now he's having a full blown meltdown in the bathroom. The whole weight of everything and trying to be everything for Dylan has finally broke. The day is just too much for him. So Dylan has Lake get her a pair of sweatpants he can change into, and they decide it's time to go home. And he wants to say goodbye to the horses on the way out, so Lake brings him down to the horses, and Dylan and Lydia, that's Lake's mom, are on the porch watching the boys go down to the barn, and Lydia is all like, you know, I feel good about letting go now.
And this is where I cried again.
I had a hard time with it all, knowing he'd be alone, feeling as if I'm leaving him. But after today, Dylan, after meeting you and Colin, I know he's not, nor will he ever be. Give him time. He'll need time, but he'll find his way back to what really matters.
This starts my downfall.
Lake brings her home, and at the door, he tells her, I can't work with you anymore. The doc told Coach, and they're setting me up with a new therapist. And she's just like, how can you do this? What? How can you just leave us like this? You said you'd take me any way you could get me. You made promises. And he's, my focus wasn't where it should be. I need to keep my attention getting back to what I do best. You need to focus on your career and Colin. This just got too messy. He goes to leave and she goes inside. And Colin is inside and he is having a full-blown meltdown. Apparently, when he walked inside, something else triggered him, and he is really raging, like hardcore raging. And she tries her normal tricks, you know, getting behind him and giving him that sensory input. But he is just punching and punching galore, trying to hit himself. And he hits her a couple times, and he's like scooting back. And finally, he has her up against the wall, and he keeps scooting back, and he has her trapped behind him. And she's like, I can't breathe, Colin, I can't breathe. And he's squeezing her against the wall. And Lake, who got to his truck and realized that he's a fucking dumbass and turned around to try to fix it again, came back into this mess, tries to get Colin off of her. But in doing so, when he pulls Colin off, he hard falls into the wall and smashes into the wall face first and breaks his nose. And she's like, we got to go to the hospital. Let's go. So they all have to go to the hospital. And Lake is having his own internal meltdown. And he's like, I got to go. I hurt him, Dylan. I fucking hurt him. She's like, you did what you had to do. I couldn't control him. She's, no, I'm no good for you. I'm worse than your ex. I laid hands on him. He'll never look at me the same. He'll never feel safe around me. She's like, but you came back. Why did you come back? It doesn't matter now. Tell him I'm sorry. I can't be here when he gets out. I have to go. So he is having a rough time and he goes and he talks to his friend Candy. And we find out that the coach basically gave him an ultimatum and told him that if he walked away from her, that she would still get the job offer to be their team therapist.
I hate that.
And
I get it. Still hate it.
He chose her having her job. And Candy's like, are you fucking kidding me? You didn't let her choose. You let her go before she could leave you.
Because God forbid another amazing, selfless woman slips away from you.
Because Candy knows about his mom.
Right. But he's like, you didn't give her a choice.
True, he didn't. He decided for her.
So a few days later, when Dylan's able to go back to work, she has a meeting with her boss. Apparently, Jaden is with Lake now, and she has been given an offer to go work for their football team. But Lake was a no-show for Jaden's appointment, and she's really confused by this. She's like, that is not like him at all. Yeah. But she's not really talking to him right now, and she's just, okay, until she gets a random text from him asking if she's home, and then he never comes up or anything, and she sees that his truck is just sitting in her parking lot.
You cry number three.
And she heads down to the truck and sees him having a full mental meltdown in his truck. And she just knows. She knows what is the only reason he could have missed therapy for. What's the only reason that he is like melting down? His mom's gone.
And this man and is just...
I'm sorry. I didn't know where else to go. I have nowhere to go. She's gone. She's gone and I didn't get to say goodbye. And she's like, you're right where she wanted you. He's like, I didn't know where to go. Thank you for being home. And she's, I'll always be your home, Lake. And
that part took me out. I was like, oh, God.
He's like, I need time. Like, she's come in. Why don't you come in? And he's like, yep. I need space. And she goes inside and Colin's waiting for her and she sees her upset. What's going on? And she has to tell him, you know, the woman they just met, Lake's mom, passed away. And he's like, well, why didn't he come inside, kind of thing? Is he scared of me? And she's like, he's questioning the same thing about you. He's like, I'm not mad at him, Pickle.
He was protecting you. And I'm like,
Colin's not angry with him. He helped you. He helped you and Colin lost it. He helped you.
And I cried number four. I just was a bucket load of fucking tears. Just everything in just my emotions were just gone. Ugh.
Yeah. And she's like, you're not scared? He's like, I am no coward, Pickle, and neither are you. We rise in disparity and adversity. We always have. We just have another flat. Flat tires happen to everyone. Cars always break down, crash, start fires, break down. It's the team that gets the racer back on track. The team. It's the team. Team. There's a reason a team becomes a team, Dee Dee. They trust each other. They rely on each other. Trust. They trust each other to fall back when they need to. And someone else fills in. Everyone has their roles. Roles on a team. And she's kind of confused for a second because she's like, why are you calling me that?
Dee Dee.
Right. And he's just like wraps his arms around her, which he does not like hugs, by the way. But he's comforting her in this moment. He's like, just another flat, a flat. Trust the team. And she's like, I take this hug, embracing it, holding onto the words. Colin's comforting me right now. I only hope he's strong enough to handle my flat. So 3 weeks later, Lake has his first game back and his mom's not there to see it. And
because he feels like such a failure, too, because he's like, I was doing all of this for my mom and my, you know, I wasn't fast enough. Yeah.
Yeah. And not only that, but Dylan's not there either. He's seen no sign of her in the last 3 weeks when she said she was going to take this job. And he's frustrated. So a week later,
he's leaving his house for another game, and his truck won't start. And he opens the hood, and his fucking battery is just gone out of his truck.
Yep.
And he's kind of like, what the fuck? My car battery, it's gone. He just turns around. He's like, this is a secure underground parking garage. Like yelling out to no one at all. And all of a sudden, from behind him, should have got the Tundra.
And then more tears started happening. He's I couldn't keep after his mom said that stuff to Dylan. The tears just wouldn't stop coming.
It was Colin. He's like, Colin, what are you doing here? Where's Dylan? He doesn't answer him. He just continues walking. He's like, Dee Dee doesn't know. He's like, who's Dee Dee? He's like, no, I'm here because you need a ride. You need a ride because you don't have a battery. How did you know I didn't have a battery? I know you didn't have a battery because I took your battery. Colin took your battery. It's my battery now. I needed it. He did it.
I took it.
He's like, give me back the battery. He's like, it's not here. Battery isn't here. I used it for my soup car. Now, come on. Soup car up. We have a race to get to. He's like, what? What? He's like, wait, your race? It's today?
She nods at him.
And he takes a canary shirt out of his backpack and throws it at Lake. And it says, Canary Cowards. He's like, our team. He's like, the team needs you. The team needs you. And then he's like, are you sure about this? About me? He goes, I called you a coward for a reason. Wait, why are you doing all this? Why give me a chance after all I've done? You love her. You love her. Don't waste it. Love her. And he kind of looks at him. All we have is time right now. Time is always ticking away from us. And he's like,
crying because I want to start crying.
He's like, I'm here to fix the flat. My team needed me. Now let's go. Time to go. Uber is here. It's like, wait a second. You called an Uber? He's like, Dylan is going to kill you. No, Dee Dee will be happy. Very happy. What's Dee Dee? Why do you keep calling her Dee Dee? I thought she was Pickle. She was. But she's been Dee Dee since she's been yours.
Then he realizes.
Is Dylan Decker?
Dude, it just gets more and more.
He's
Jesse
so,
Hall, what are you doing?
So smart.
Oh, man.
So Lake shows up at the race and he kind of hangs back a little. And Colin kind of goes up to Dylan and he's like, he won't come over. He's waiting until it's okay. I told him it would be okay, but he says he needs to know it's okay. And she's kind of like, what the fuck? And she's so confused. And all of a sudden, since it wasn't like a come on over, Lake defeatingly thinks it's like a no and starts turning around to leave. And she's like, well, wait, like what? And she's so confused. She's like, what? And then this man, you lied to me, Dylan. It's like, you said I was bad at it because she didn't take the job. And he's like, she told you to be patient with me, didn't she? There's no reason a girl as amazing as you would wait for a guy like me. I'm so sorry. I'm not a coward anymore, Dylan. Colin helped me conquer that. I came here today leaving all the broken pieces of my heart on the table, ready and willing for you to crumble them into dust if you needed to. I'm not afraid of the potential heartbreak. That doesn't scare me anymore. What I'm afraid of now is not trying before my time runs out. I haven't been the same without you. I just need you. Tell me I can love you the way I need to in order to breathe. Tell me you'll let me back in. I love you, Dylan. Tell me I'm lucky enough for you to love me back. And she says, I'll love you every lap, Lake. And he's like, tell me I can kiss you. And so they kiss. And there's Colin. You done fixing yet? And he goes, I don't know. Might need more fixing. And Colin, I don't understand. Colin doesn't understand. It looks fixed. I think we can race now. I fixed it.
So cute.
Yeah. And he pulls out his jacket. That he had ran up when he realized they were going. He ran out to go get it. They get to the car and Ashton's there. He's been helping them get this car ready. And they're kind of weird and awkward. Lake's kind of like, I don't need to beat your ass, do I? And Ashton's like, no.
Why?
I don't think
this
so.
This is where he is so confused.
Equally confused.
Okay.
Sounds good. And he's like, thanks for being there when I couldn't kind of thing. They're like getting Colin ready into the car and everything. It's okay. When they wave the flag, you just have to pedal your little heart out. And he's like, I'd rather not.
Colin stole the battery from Link so that he could super fix up this car and make it so he doesn't have to pedal it, because that's too much work. So Colin, in fact, did win the race. He won the race with the souped up car he constructed secretly all on his own. His car flew past everyone who was simply pedaling their cars around the track. Our team looked on in shock while Colin's car shifted into gear, zooming through everyone, lapping most of the racers multiple times as his car flew like the wind. He was disqualified almost immediately. Upon stepping out of the car that had entirely broken all the rules of the race. But it didn't stop Ashton and I from lifting him up on our shoulders and cheering like a bunch of crazed savages living in a world all of our own. And it didn't matter that he didn't technically win. He won in our eyes, and the smile it brought to his face was one I'd never seen before.
So fucking funny.
So then the next time we see them, which I think is post-race, but it seems very soon, so correct me if I'm wrong, but Dylan and Lake are enjoying time together when Lake pulls a ring out of his pocket that his mother made for him.
Oh my God. This part also hook me.
Asks her to marry him and explains the DD thing. But yeah, his mom specially made him a ring, and then like...
He hadn't seen it. No. She told him not to open it.
It was delivered after, yeah.
It was made. And I believe, wasn't there a note included in the ring boxes? But literally, this whole section, I bawled like a fuck a baby. I cried like a bitch.
So then we have an epilogue where they are married with a 3-year-old son, and Dylan is pregnant with a daughter, and they're living in his mom's house. They renovated it, making a guest house for Colin so that he can have his own space. She has a new therapy center for people with special needs and disabilities, and they're having a grand old time. And the last page, there's a knock on the door with a man saying, "I'm here to meet my brother."
And then that's it.
Which, yeah. So here's my feelings on that. This book was good. Okay. I had a great time. It was an emotional read. It was a little long in parts for me. I felt like they dragged it in certain parts where I was like, okay, we're going through the roller coaster again. But it was a good read. Why would you take a beautiful emotional read and then ruin it with one fucking weird line at the end of an epilogue to try to make it this quirky extenuation into another book? It was just stupid, and it ruined it for me. And I was like, no, thank you. I felt it didn't fit the vibe. It did not pass the vibe check. Do you want to make another book?
I didn't think it was quirky, though. I feel like
it didn't fit the vibe.
I understand that. That's what I meant by quirky.
But
it was like hinted how shitty his dad was, so it could have something to do with that side of the family.
Absolutely.
That's the only thing I can think of. So I don't know. Yeah, it didn't really fit the vibe of the book, but it is also an epilogue, so it's not really the story, and it's like literally the last. I know you're going to be salty about it. It is what it is. It makes me want to read it, the whatever the fuck is going on next.
I wanted to read whatever else until I read that. Then I was like, oh, principal, no, thank you. No. I'll probably still will, just saying, but it will be a while. I'll purposely avoid it on principle for a while.
You're such a petty bitch.
Who is your favorite character?
Oh, okay. Oh, boy.
Mine was Colin.
I really liked Colin, and I really liked Candy a lot.
I really liked Colin. He was the wisdom of our book.
His mom, though. Oh my God, my poor fucking soul. Oh, my God. Ugh. Who's your least favorite?
Weird choice, but I'm going to say Jaden. I just felt he was two-dimensional.
I'm going with the team doctor because he should have just minded his own fucking business.
Yes, I agree. Yes. Yeah. What a failing bitch. He's probably like a 50-year-old white man, too. Like, why can't he fucking mind his own goddamn business?
Yeah, I fucking hate
actually, him. What's with old white people?
You understand that one day we will be old white people.
So. Okay, but our generation of old white people.
That is true. That is true. Yeah.
I really don't think we'll be the same.
I really didn't like him at all. So mind your damn business. Oh, man.
If no one is hurt and no one needs help, worry about yourself.
Right.
So I put up Amazon gives this out of
a little over 2,000 ratings, it gives it 4.6 out of 5. And Goodreads gives this, out of 3,500 ratings, a 4.4 out of 5. What did you rate this?
4.5.
I rated this 4 stars because I felt that it was a little lengthy in parts, and I felt it could have been edited down in some of the emotional roller coaster, and because that last page did not pass the vibe check. And
I gave it 4.5 because I loved all of the emotional everything into it. I cried about 7 times throughout this whole book.
Oh, it was great. I just felt it was a little...
Your turn's over. I'm just kidding.
I didn't say I was done. Maybe your turn's over.
No, I didn't think any of it was lengthy. I flew through it. Yeah, I think that the pacing was just right. I loved this book. When it took the super emotional turn, I was destroyed. And I...
The second half definitely went faster for me than the first half.
I just wanted to curl into a ball. So there
were I guess what I mean is there were times in the book where I looked at what was going on and I looked at the percentage and I was like, what the fuck? If we're at this part now, what the fuck is still going to happen? I think that was what it was for me.
Probably. So, yeah.
What about your cucumber rating?
Oh, boy. I have no idea. Like a 5 or 6, maybe. They're very lovey.
And they had a lot of tension.
Yeah.
I'll say a 5.
Sounds good. Survivability, Ariel.
Oh, I forgot about that for a minute.
Listen, my laptop may be laying upside down right now crying, but I can remember parts of our podcast.
So I think I would be fine in this book. I think I would be fine all the way around. Life be rough, man. And unfortunately, I know the song and dance.
I would be okay, but I would be emotionally dead. Forever.
But I already am, so that's why I was saying I know the song and dance.
I have flickers of emotion on there. Yeah.
Wonder why I'm emotionally dead inside. Read this book. No,
how about your how would your quality of life be then?
Probably pretty much the same it is now.
Yeah. With a bit better, with more sex in it though.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And somebody to take care of me.
Yeah, I'm so glad that he was written the way he was, with actual depth to his character, and not just, oh, I'm a big giant jock, let me push my weight around.
Yeah.
His motivations behind everything were there. He was multidimensional, which is fucking great. And when he's like, you know what? I don't want to just bang her. Like, I want her in my life. He took everything in stride. Meeting her brother, which was like this huge deal, learning all her past. And then he was like, I'm going to take care of you. Basically, without telling you I'm taking care of you, because you're going to be a bitch about it, tell you, because she would deny it. So he was just doing the things without even asking her, because he knew that she needed them done.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really nice. So it was good.
All right. Do we have any more sports romance on the wheel?
That is
to
a good question.
Keep this month rolling?
I don't know. We might.
I'm trying to remember what's on there.
You know
what's
what?
Even left.
Let's fucking figure this out and we'll spin this wheel of fate. So let's do it. Let's do it. Until I get you.
Can you believe that shit? That's my... Oh, I've been wanting to read this one for so long.
It is. Oh my God. We're going to continue with the sports.
Can you believe that shit? If we didn't have that on video.
Alrighty. So we are gonna do Until I Get You.
Yep.
By Claire.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Contreras, which is a hockey romance novel. And Ariel is really wanting this book so bad. And it will continue our theme of sports.
This one's got an obsessed morally gray hero.
Right up her alley.
3 years ago, she ruined my life. Now I'm going to return the favor. My reputation at Fairview University preceded me. I was the projected number one pick in the NHL draft and the fan favorite at the rink. People wanted to be me or be with me, except for Lila James Miracle. She didn't look at me like I was her next meal. She eyed me with disdain. Instead of vying for my attention, she ignored me and pushed me away.
She was completely unattainable, and I became obsessed with her. When I finally got her, it felt like I was on top of the world. I was going to help the team win another championship, going into the draft, and I had Lila by my side. And then without warning, she left me. Vanished. It took me 3 bitter, angry, long years to find her. But I did. And now she owes me a lot more than just an explanation. 3 years ago, she ruined my life. Now I'm going to become her worst nightmare.
The dramatics.
I've been waiting.
I know.
I had to be a little dramatic.
So look at that. We're going to continue our
sports. Can you believe that?
That's fucking wild.
That's so crazy.
That's our final sports romance.
Yeah.
But that's okay. You know what? I'm here for it.
April is sports month with a side of bunnies.
It's puck bunny month.
It's puck. April is puck bunny month.
Why are we like this?
Anyways.
So please join us next week when we read Until I Get You.
And yes, read along with us and make sure that you keep reading all these morally gray heroes like I like to do. But either way, make sure you keep reading.
And keep it smutty.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, fuck.